This is the opportunity for you to give to the Lord. The other day was not a good day for me. And you probably have had these situations. As you do what Gary talked about this morning, and you renew your mind more, and you find out the new nature that you are and that you have and the new creation that you are, I want to tell you something. You're going to find out, hey, I'm a giver. And then you're going to start walking in that. And I want to tell you what, this is what's going to happen. This is not to scare you, but this is what's going to happen. The devil will challenge you. And whatever it is, whether it's the fact that you don't have to be sick anymore, whether it's you love your neighbor, once you pray that out and you find that out, and that part of your new nature starts to emerge, hey, God is love. I love people. There is an enemy. And that enemy is going to come and test your ground. And you're going to get to find out how much you love your neighbor. Or you're going to get to find out what it really means to give. What it means to walk in divine health. So the other day, on the day that wasn't so good, and doing my very best to walk in all of this, and you know, the enemy's lined up against you, screaming at you, give up, it's time to quit, it doesn't work. Has anybody ever heard that? Or is it just me? I hope it's not just me. Give up and quit. That is his cheer. Give up and quit. It doesn't work. Any one of those in sequence. And this was the what went off inside of me. Just call somebody. Just call somebody. And it let them tell you that it does work. And something inside of me said, that's not it. You don't have to call anybody. And folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. All of a sudden, just like Pastor Dave says or Gary says, it sounded like somebody was in the back seat of my truck talking to me. He said, encourage yourself. Amen. Amen? Encourage yourself. So I went home and looked it up. You can see it for yourself in 1 Samuel. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 30. David and his mighty men had just come back from hiding out with the Philistines. They came back to Ziklag. What did they find? Ziklag was burned. Their families were gone. And all these mighty men that followed David, what did they want to do? Stone David! Stone him! What did David do? I'll read it to you. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you look at the 23rd Psalm, I want to read a little bit of this to you. What is David doing when you read these Psalms, especially the 23rd? The Lord is my shepherd. He's talking to himself. Soul, you listen to me, soul. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. No matter what looks like, soul, you straighten up and you listen to me. And you tell yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is how you win. This is how you win. And it doesn't matter if it's health issues, if it's family issues, if it's money issues, if it's issues of any kind. This is how you win. The victory is already yours. You just have to walk in it and not quit. And so yesterday it was almost like the devil walked into our house and sat down and started cheering, "Quit, quit. It's not working. The word isn't working. Do you hear me? It's not working." And he adds a little bit of symptoms to my wife. So she's sitting there in pain. And you know what I do? "Jesus, I worship you." Tim and Gary, I didn't know I was going to do this until he told me to. "Lord, I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. 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 I worship you, Lord." And that's how you do it, folks. And you don't stop. So as you pray and your mind is renewed and you find out what a giver you really are, and he challenges your ground, maybe a pink slip comes. Whatever happens, this is how you walk in the victory. It doesn't change. It's the same way. If you don't think Pastor Dave has had to do this, Tim and Gary have had to do this, this is how it happens right here. They did this around Jericho and the walls fell. Does it make sense to the mind? No, it doesn't make sense to your mind. But that doesn't matter. This is how you do it. Close your eyes. "Lord, I did what you told me to do. And I don't regret a second of it. Lord Jesus, show these people. Show them what you want them to do in this offering. In Jesus' name."
Turned around walking down this green line, realized I was praying in tongues. Now I have to listen. What a way to get your attention, I can break it down to just a few words. He's pleased. He's pleased. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's pleased with what is happening here now. He's pleased because he's been this way before. So he knows, of course, what follows. And obviously to be pleased, what is going to follow is going to be really, really good. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. So anyway, that was what he was saying, is that he is pleased. I don't dare ask him exactly for what. So let's take a minute to just give him some glory. Okay. All right. He's incredibly pleased with the truth that's coming out of here now. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's pleased with the truth that's coming out of here. Okay. It's good that you learn to worship Him for what you don't see. Because wait till you see the kind of worship that takes place when you do. That was that last part there. When my assignment on the road changed to come back home and be part of receiving this outpouring for Him that would constitute revival, that is revival. Of course, I had no idea what it entailed. I actually thought at the end of my first longer fast, it would start. Listen, in case I make it, you can go ahead and open to Romans 8. At the end of that longer fast, I ended up in Atlanta. So I actually had a meeting scheduled near the end of it. Took it. Oh, let me see. I think up on that fast, I was threatening 160 pounds. So I had been for some while. Well, I jumped in the shower to go get ready for the meeting. But I was in the shower just taking like a normal shower. And he said, okay, you can break it. It's time you can break it. Now, I saw this whole vision again this morning when Gary was teaching. I mean, not the same way I saw it then, but it all came back. So I was, I'd lost so much weight, I was running around in the shower trying to get wet. No. Leaving the plug in the tub was a safety measure. And he says, you can break this now. And even told me what on. I got so excited when he said I could break it. If he wouldn't tell me what on, I wouldn't have listened to the rest hardly. I ran and ate. That broke it on cantaloupe and watermelon. And it had a light fiber, and it was. And he taught me how to chew until I swallowed my solids. No, I drank my solids. And chewed my liquids. That is quite genius. Chew it and chew it and chew it until it's soup. Swallow. Hold liquid in your mouth till it's salivated. Made that up. So I'm ready to jump out. And when I did get out of the shower, then my finger broke all sound barriers, dialing room service. So what you want? Melon. Send me melon. This is what I saw. I saw the planet suspended like in outer space. There she was. Then there was a realm we lived in. Some of you remember this. It's been here a while. And it's a black belt. I mean, it was a black belt that the circumference of the earth that we living under the black belt. And then there was a glory realm on the other side of the black belt. So you know, I'm wanting to help God a little bit with the interpretation. And I'm looking at this, and pretty soon somebody starts climbing up, and they climb through the dark belt and stuck their hand and come back with the giftings just flowing. And somebody else went up and they received something else, and they come back, whatever they stuck through their mind, their hand, they come back glowing. And so they had an impact in a good ministry, but then finally somebody broke all the way through. And when they come back, I mean, they shot back and they glowed. I mean, they glowed like the realm they came from, landed on a dark place in the earth, and it ignited like a forest fire. Then it started igniting other places, and it just covered the earth like the water covered the sea. But I've seen other people, and they would break through it, and then go back, and they hit a dark region, and it would start like that, and it went on and on like that. So I'm going, oh, that dark belt, I know what that is. That's the principality and powers of the air. And that's when he told me. He says, no. I said, well, what is it? He said, I gave you power over all the power of the enemy. I said, well, what is that then? He said, that's your flesh. We were still in Jinx when he gave that to me. It just leased the building in Jinx. He said, that's... And that was the first fastings towards the revival, I thought, would pour out. And believe me, he wanted to pour it out then.
Why didn't he?
Because he couldn't.
Why couldn't he?
Because we couldn't receive it.
Did you want to?
Yes.
Did you know how to?
Obviously not. But way back then, I mean, it just told us. Well, thank God what made him believe that we had a chance is that he had already given us a good deal of that revelation on the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, which we finished this message up in the years after that, and then that was all incorporated together and edited into that book. And how many knows that the conclusion I came to about 6 years ago was when the Lord said, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. Praying in tongues is a foundational revelation gift. And even after I knew that and I was operating in it, but it had never coined that kind of phrase before. For he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. How be it, analytical word, in the Spirit this man is speaking what? Mysteries. And guess what? One more time. They're not for God's benefit. You're not going to sneak up on him and tell him something he didn't know a few millennials before you were born. These mysteries that you're praying is for your benefit, like any other kind of prayer. It's going to be answered. But the way it's answered is incredible. Incredible. All of a sudden, you didn't understand about healing. You didn't understand about receiving revelation. You didn't understand about meditation. You knew nothing about fasting. You knew nothing about meditation. Hardly knew anything about study. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you purposely, just because you want to, releasing the teacher on the inside of you. And one day, a mystery will go off in you, and you will understand something. Those hours and hours of praying in tongues and assimilation, where do you think this stuff is coming from? Thank God we have the teacher, and we know how to yield ourselves over to Him. Yes? Well, when He said, that's not the principality and power. He said, I gave you power of all His power. They said, well, what is it then? He said, flesh. Now, how many of you has ever heard the word being consolidated and coming together like it has this year in who we are in Him and what we became when we became a new creation and what that entails? How many has ever heard teaching coming together as you heard in this hour? I haven't. He gave me portions in the born again trail, but I've never heard a depth come forward that's coming forward now. And I heard and interpret correctly in tongues, and I know I did. He's pleased. And one of the reasons I know He's pleased is because we are getting closer to something. And it is happening. It's happening now. Can you believe that He... Can you believe that He said, you want to see a miracle there? And I said, oh yeah, I'm always open to a miracle. And that's when He showed me that miracle in reverse. He said, it's a miracle for the people that are staying away. I mean, with the teaching like it is now, and to have the crowd thin down, that is a miracle. But the miracle that I'm seeing is not one of God's. He's the teaching part. It's a miracle that the devil's pulling off. And the reason he is tying up a lot of hell. But he's a whole lot more afraid of us than he used to be. So he has to go into overtime to thin the crowd out. And to us, it's a miracle. Things keep getting better and more powerful and the crowd gets thinner. What sense is that? I said, okay, I can see that part. Okay, I see it. But I'm sure looking forward to that other one. Yes. So that was one of the greatest miracles I ever seen the devil do. I'm thinking, what a miracle. I listened to the teaching that would change people's lives like they've never been changed. And I'm thinking, is there something wrong? I mean, what in the world? Why aren't they lining up down the freeway? What a miracle. And I get so excited because of His grace. Because you know what? The miracle in reverse is because He's trying to hold back the one that is about to happen. And I can't help it. Faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. And my faith is the substance of this preaching stand before I got it. My faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for, and it's all the evidence I need of the thing I can't see. And I can see it. I don't need nothing else. It is here. Whew. It is a miracle, and it is here. I'm trying to get to Romans 8. It's a chapter I barely know. When He opened up the born again trail, how many of you remember when I made the statement about the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this chapter? How many remembers that? Let me see your hand, old timer. You remember that, or did you hear a tape? Okay, how many heard it from the pulpit? You've been here that long? Pretty soon we're going to have a survival tag. At the first place in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit's mentioned is His Spirit bears witness with ours that we are the children of God. So that's the first time that the word Spirit in here is not, it is not referring to the Holy Spirit, it's referring to the human spirit, except when He said His Spirit bears witness with ours. And you know that that's talking about His and then ours. But leading up to that was always talking about our human spirit. And when you understand that, you understand mortification on a whole new level. Boy, when I found out the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen who I am and who He made you is what the victory is made out of. I have a nature that's freed me from sin. But just for the sake of it, let's look at Romans 8 and 1, verse 4 a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus who walk no longer after the what? Flesh, but after what? The condemnation He was talking about here was taken from Romans 7 when He said, oh, this is the kind I'm under. I got a commandment that says, thou shalt not covet. And He says, and I couldn't stop coveting. So the condemnation that led to this kind of life under the law, the good I do, I cannot, and the evil I was refusing to do, that's what I ended up doing. It says, no longer I that doeth, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. So when He said, there's therefore no more condemnation, that's the kind He was talking about. There's no more of that kind of condemnation. Why? Because I have been born again and have received the Spirit with His nature. I'm free from sin. It can't dominate me anymore. I dominate it. Well, then if this is really talking about that being your human spirit, I know they put a big S here. It's not a big S. Follow it closely as we go up to the verses we're after. There is therefore now no more that kind of condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus walk no longer after that death nature in the flesh, but after the Spirit, the new nature. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He's first man to be born on this planet with that life of God in him. So the Spirit, the law of life emanated that life, and it made me free from the law that sin emanated, which was death. He made mine free by replacing it with His. I have been born again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Romans 7. God sent His own Son, a likeness, sinful flesh, by sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that finally the righteousness of the law might finally be fulfilled in us who walk no longer after that death nature, but after the new nature that we've received. For they that are after or do walk after that death nature, their mind is controlled by those things, the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, their mind now can be brought under ascendancy and controlled by the new nature. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is our enemy of God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are after the flesh, they cannot please God. Why? Because you have the death nature dominating. A dead spirit. Well, this is the part I was after. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. And notice here, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, what does he mean when he said the Spirit of Christ? You're not in the flesh, or you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Or the Spirit of God. Then he explains, now if any man doesn't have the Spirit or the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, what, do we have a little Jesus walking in us? Or 10th verse says, and if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit's life because of righteousness. Now, if he said, we have not the spirit of Christ, we're none of his. So what's the spirit of Christ? Do I have the Holy Spirit, my own human spirit, and then a little spirit of Jesus come and stepped in? No. What is the spirit of Christ? I used to have the spirit of Adam. Did I have his personal spirit? No. But I had the death I inherited from him. Do I have Jesus' personal spirit? No. But I have the spirit of Christ because I have the new nature that I've inherited from him. Now look what he says about you if you have this. In the 11th verse, or the 10th, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, he's in me because I have that nature. So he says, look, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin. Positionally, the moment I was born again, my body was declared dead. And my spirit declared righteous. In other words, it's been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But my flesh, my body's been declared dead. As you know, in our fasting series, one thing fasting does is executes that position of death that your body has already been declared. Well, my body's not dead. It's given me a lot of trouble. Oh, yes, it is. Positionally. Positionally, it has been declared dead. And positionally, my spirit has been declared seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, I remember using Bruce for an illustration on this, for somebody that fasting, and then he fasted so much, and we went and knocked on the door. What day are you on? The 80th day. And then pretty soon you knock, no answer. Ah, he's totally mortified. Bruce, do you remember that? Where are you? Okay. I got you up and paraded you around, didn't I? I did. About 15 years ago. Something like that. Well, if you understand the 10th verse, then it opens up the next one for you, and that was the one we was after. He said, again in 10, if Christ be in you, the body persistently been declared dead because of sin, but the spirit declared life because of righteousness. Notice he didn't say it declared alive. It has entered into the God kind of Zoe life, seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But positionally, your body's been declared dead. As in what? As in its ability to reign over you anymore if you won't let it. Well, this is why the next verse says what it does. But if the spirit of him, 10, 11 together is one thought. And if Christ be in you, yeah, the body's dead because of sin. The spirit, it's entered into life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, which spirit is that? Well, what's the one in the subject of the chapter? It's the spirit of Christ, or it's that life I have inherited from him. But if the spirit of him, or the life I've inherited from him that raised Jesus up from the dead, dwells in me, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also do what? Quicken. Notice your mortal body, not your celestial one. It's the one you got now. It's terminating. It's dying. It's willing to sin. It says, if the same spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead, that when he came and the life he quickened him from death to life with, boy, if that dwells in me, he will quicken, bring life to, make alive, quicken my mortal body by his spirit that dwells in me. And for a while I looked at that, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, I know what this means. This is the Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to, in that day when the trumpet blows, it's going to glorify my body, my mortal one. That's what it sounds like it says, and I think that I have preached it that way in the beginning. What is he talking about here? Am I really free? I am. I am. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that is, to make alive, bring life to your mortal bodies. Well, how's He going to do that? By His Spirit that does what? Dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Because if you do live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So when I finally understood what this meant, sometimes Gary and different ones will talk about, oh, when I decide to fast or something, or go away and fast, or decide to pray, or decide to walk in love in situations, say, once in a while they say something and I, seats are too low to crawl under. That some of the greatest revelations and the greatest freedom came when I saw that this verse was agreeing with every other one that addressed the subject. It's through the new nature that He gave me, which is the Spirit that's of Christ. The nature has freed me from sin, adopted me into God's family, and made me a son of God. Couldn't earn it. Had to be born in it. That He said He can take that new life and quicken my mortal bodies, which is what? They're right there on the line where my body tries to convince me to do things that I know I shouldn't and do not want to do, that He supplies the life on that line that makes it possible for me not to have to yield to my flesh, but rather be free from it. So when I found this out those years ago, then I knew that fasting executed that positional truth of mortification. So the more I knew about what the Spirit was doing in me, the more freer I got. Now let's think about this just for a minute. Should I? Yeah, sometimes you pause and wonder, should I tell them this part or not? I'll give you this one part, that it's really one, open up some of the books and the revelation that's in it, and two, be able to live by it. One of them was Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given to you, heaped down, pressed together, shaken down, running over. I cause men to give into your bosom. How many's ever you heard that in the offering? Should I say how many hundreds of times have you? Probably 50 by me. The end of Luke 6 chapter, he's talking about a man that dig deep into his sayings and laid his house on a rock. So the deep digging he was doing is past all the debris to build his house on the rock, which was doing his sayings. Now the storm came and beat the living daylights out of it. It wouldn't go down. because it's founded on the rock which is doing these things. You don't have to back up in the chapter far. There's 27. Too good of them hate you. Spitefully uses you, pray for them. The man slaps you on the cheek, offer him the other, takes your goods, your car, sues you for everything, fill the car up, polish it, give it to him. Whatever it costs you to handle the hold of blood of Jesus up across the void of spiritual death to that sinner, whatever it costs you, that's Luke 6:38. He's going to heap it down, press it together, run it over. He'll cause men. I mean, he goes and does it. Why? Because no matter what they did to you, you relentlessly held the blood up across that void of death for them to be born again on. And when he goes into the wind down on those verses, he says, so your Father has mercy, be you merciful and show that mercy. Judge not. You won't be judged. Condemn not. You won't be condemned. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. And give, you'll be given. I said, well, I'm doing all that. I still get judged by this. He says, no, it's Satan I stripped of the power to judge your house. And he can't condemn it. Well, the golden rule's in there too. Do unto others. Have you done unto you? Well, I did that. I got so nice to people it was sickening. They kept stabbing me in the back anyway. Had to look for a place for a knife. I'm going to stab you in the back a little lower to the right. It's full already. I said, they didn't stop. You know what he said to me? As you would do unto others. As you'd have others doing to you, do to them. You know what he said? As you would that others treat you, you do unto them that way. And that's how I'll end up treating you. So how do you see those situations now when they're taking everything you have and blah, 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 as great opportunities for prosperity? Well, I can't. Well, I told you. I found out. It's through the Spirit. He mortifies the deeds of the body. Of course the Holy Spirit prays. He plays a role in teaching you and empowering you and giving you revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the mysteries as your teacher until you rise above that and take that ascendancy and authority. But you wouldn't have any position to take if it wasn't given to you. And the bottom line of that position is the same Spirit that caused Jesus to give him life is the same Spirit. That he'll use to quicken. So I have fun sometimes. I even start rejoicing. It's like you're in an offering and you're going to get a plastic wallet that'll never go empty. And somebody comes and takes my car. Oh, what an opportunity for a tremendous blessing. And it's not dependent on the economy either. No. You know what I think? I think he taught us these things during the golden era. During those days of the century, I had 3 airplanes and all that kind of stuff. It's okay to get you there. If you want to go there and get them saved, that's great. Get an airplane. I don't care. But I had to have one for status. Twins, too. It was great. I like to go down to the airport, cross the street, get in my plane, fly away. But those first fastings, I got some sense of what people are worth. I don't care what it costs. I'm not going to hurt him anymore. I didn't care if it shook me down to a cornfield with three stalks. They're mine. They're my stalks. I believed him. We paid a price when people would lay money at your feet. Doesn't care. Wouldn't hurt them anymore. Wouldn't put them under law anymore. Now, guess what? When it is in the golden era, it will not affect us. He is my supply because I have made him so. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Yes, I am. My mind went through quite the war the last 3 years, but then again, he took the thing closest to my heart, tried to destroy me with it. I survived. I survived. Let's see. Everything is culminating here. We are free. We are free. The Holy Spirit has taught us that. So get yourself ready. Roll your pants legs up. Let's step on over into the revival, shall we? I can testify. He'll take care of you. I've had infections pass through my system for a year. Had a back that the vertebrae was tilted. Oh, and then paralyzing my spine almost on one side. You drag your leg around. You know, I had an airplane, but didn't do much good because I couldn't get out of it. I'd get out and have to brace my back against the chair and push real hard to try to get it in enough so I could stand up and pray for people to be healed. Would he heal them? Yeah, but he left me standing there. I said, that does not make sense. Why don't you heal me? Anyway, I can remember when I came out of that and the growth that was here, blood running through my system for a year, all kinds of things. I can remember when they could not stay anymore. Are you trying to condemn some of us? No, no, listen. It's yours too. He loves you. He'll take you by the hand where you're at. You both walk out together. He'll never abandon you. Well, this life doesn't have much else for me. I only have one purpose anymore. I'm going to finish what he has given me to do.